Whether you came of age in the 80s,
I feel the need for speed,
the 90s,
show me the money,
or the 2000s,
the universe is talking to us right now. You just gotta listen.
Tom Cruise has been one of the world's biggest movie stars. His films have grossed over $12 billion worldwide, and at 62, he is still doing it with the release of the 8th Mission Impossible film, Final Reckoning.
I need you to trust me one last time.
To talk more about a career that has gone through more wild turns than your typical Hollywood blockbuster, I have brought in two people who have a lot of thoughts, and I know this firsthand, a lot of thoughts about Tom Cruise. NPR All Things Considered producer Mark Rivers and NPR editor Barry Hardiman. Hey there.
Hi.
Great to be here for this important conversation.
Mark, you have been waiting for this moment to be asked this in a microphone for like perhaps a decade.
Maybe my whole life, honestly.
Here you are. I know you love Tom Cruise. Please tell us why.
For me, he's kind of the ultimate movie star. He's alone among stars I think would actually die for entertainment, die for the movies. Now, I don't condone that, but I do respect it. This guy has built up over the course of a career a passionate, some might say even maniacal devotion to the movies. And I just, it's so hypnotic. It's so fascinating to me. I think with even great movie stars, you can tell when they're checked out of a movie. You know, when the movie's not good, they will check out. And Tom Cruise is never checked out. He is always, he's always dialed in. And if you go back to his career, it is wild just how many straight up bangers that he has in a variety of genres, whether it's the courtroom drama, action movie, thriller, art house, just take like whichever. He just has
so many
rewatchable films in a variety of genres. And I think about this line from Sunset Boulevard, where Gloria Swanson says,
I just fell in love with you all over again.
Where, you know, there's that great line where she says, I'm still big, and it's the pictures that got small.
Yes.
Tom Cruise is not only still big, he wants to keep the movies big. He is like, I imagine he thinks of himself like Atlas holding up the earth, but the earth is the movies. And it's crazy, but I just love it. And yeah, I'll just watch him in anything until he actually does die for the movies. I will keep watching.
Barry, you and I are older souls than young Mark, and we have seen
thank you for putting
Tom
me
Cruise
in your
rise
category.
We have seen Tom Cruise rise and fall and do
jump.
Uncomfortable interviews and jump and ride a motorcycle and twist and turn. Where do you come out? Are you pro Tom Cruise? Are you anti Tom Cruise? Are you somewhere in between Tom Cruise? Where are you?
Tom Cruise has been a part of every part of my life. This man has been in movies for 4 decades. I've been watching them for at least that long. I am a huge Tom Cruise fan, and I will agree with you, Mark, that there is something really special about what he does on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was watching Minority Report with the kids the other night, and he walked onto the screen, and I just kind of felt my body relax, like, okay, now I'm at a movie.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Great, we're here.
Why'd you catch that?
Because it was going to fall.
You're certain?
Yeah, but it didn't fall. You caught it. The fact that you prevented it from happening doesn't change the fact that it was going to happen.
And when I try to compare him to other movie stars, you know, I feel like I think of George Clooney as a Cary Grant. Like, I actually don't have a – there's not really a comp
for
him.
No one quite like him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there are times where the fact that he is Tom Cruise in every movie doesn't serve the movie. But there are plenty of movies where it does, and I think we've all been surprised, you know, by how good he can be in some things. But again, as you pointed out, it's an enormous range of movies that can take a Tom Cruise.
If you look at the arc of his career, starting from the 80s and on, you see a lot of interesting choices.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading about him making this movie, Losing It, which, you know, if you haven't seen Losing It, that's like American Pie if they went to Tijuana.
We're going to be as crude as we want, as filthy as we want, and as gross as we want.
It's a terrible movie.
Are you kidding? You just sold it to me.
No, it's a lot worse than the premise sounds. Cruise did not do any press for it. Didn't go to the premiere. This quote from him when he's talking about the movie. I realized not everybody is capable of making a good movie. And he decided after that he only wanted to work with the best people. And he really has. Cruise has worked with Francis Ford Coppola, Martin Scorsese, Oliver Stone, Tony and Ridley Scott, Paul Thomas Anderson, Sidney Pollack. It's just... And he's challenged his persona, and he's allowed these directors to kind of play with that persona mm-hmm. in a way that I don't see a lot from his peers, like a Clooney or mm-hmm. or Brad Pitt. So, I mean, you don't make a movie like Eyes Wide Shut, you know, a movie that you make with your then wife, Nicole Kidman.
I'll tell you what I do know is you got a little stoned tonight. You've been trying to pick a fight with me, and now you're trying to make me jealous.
But you're not the jealous type, are you?
No, I'm not.
You don't make that movie unless you are willing to really test yourself and challenge yourself as a performer.
And challenge the marriage. Yes, exactly. I would agree.
I mean, like, I think that is a good point, though, to talk about, like, Mark, like you said, he's very carefully making choices and building this career, and it's forward motion. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do this. And yet he is also, at the same time, off the screen, his own worst enemy, and kind of derails his career in the short term a few different times by doing interviews in places that are usually kind of like safe places, like Oprah Winfrey's couch, mm-hmm. the Today Show set. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember watching these interviews live the first time and just going, oh no, something has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Like jumping up and down on the couch.
Something happened to you. Something happened to you.
I'm in love.
I remember seeing those live. I actually taped Oprah Winfrey every day.
Oh, wow.
But I think he was always going to get his audience back because in the end, I think there's a sort of subconscious thing where we're like, the guy jumping on the couch is also the guy that's like standing in the room full of divorced women and saying, you completely, like there's a reason that he exists in that way.
Yeah. He kind of makes a pivot. Where the crazy almost starts working for him, you know.
Yes.
When he does Tropic Thunder and he's in the fat suit and he's ridiculous, and then he starts committing to Mission Impossible where he's doing these absurd stunts. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the craziness becomes like almost an endearing thing. Like, look what he's doing.
It's a part.
Look what he's doing for the audience, for us.
But at this point, I'm wondering when we are at the point though of Mission Impossible 8. Does the whole, like, stunts thing wear thin at a certain point? Like, so maybe the answer is no.
I don't know. Hearing you guys talking about the stunts, and I swear to God, I walked in here and, like, it was, I really don't care who does the stunts. Like,
Cruz cares, though.
I know he does. And so
He wants you to know he cares.
Yeah. Right. I look forward to the Cameron Crowe movie where he is playing the Frances McDormand role. Mm-hmm. You know? That is what I want.
It would be nice to see Cruz stress himself artistically, not merely physically. But next year, actually, supposed to be in a movie from Alejandro González Iñárritu, who did, like, Birdman, Babel, things like that. And we should note that, you know, Cruz has never won an Oscar. He's been nominated 3 times, lost all 3. I think he should have won all 3.
he's clearly so the biggest decades-long star without one at this point,
right? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So this could be his chance for an Oscar, and also maybe his chance to, to really show that he's still can do things other than jump out of planes.
Mm-hmm.
Last question for everybody, and I'm going to go first. When you close your eyes and you think of Tom Cruise and you think of a Tom Cruise movie, what is the first that pops into your head?
Ooh.
For me, I will say it is Jerry Maguire. Mm-hmm. It is him on the cell phone. It is him at the Kinko's passionately making the case.
God, help me. Help me, Rod. Help me. Help you. Help me help you.
It's the cruisiest cruise. It's like it's taking the cruise persona, like the things about cruise, you know, the kind of need to please and the sense of is he being for real, and just makes it a part of the character, and it just works. So I think that's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, his face when he's getting fired is like burned in my memory.
Oh yeah, for me, I mean, it changes all the time, but right now I have to say Collateral. Actually, this is the Michael Mann movie from 2004, where Jimmy Fox plays this taxi driver who picks up a mysterious fare played by silver-haired Tom Cruise. He wants Jimmy Fox's character to drive him around so he can make some stops before his flight out of LAX that night. And things gonna get crazy on that first stop.
Man, you were gonna drive me around tonight and never be the wiser, but we're into plan B. Now we gotta make the best of it. Improvise, adapt to the environment.
Cruz is kind of using the signature intensity for evil here instead of good. And it's an example of Cruz again, or director, and Cruz kind of in partnership playing with that persona, kind of, he's playing against type here, but he's just so riveting, and you can tell he's just having real fun with it. And one of the great LA movies. For those who have not seen Collateral, I mean, it's so good. I can watch it every day of my life and be happy.
All right, Barry, cruisiest cruise to you.
So this is going to sound minor, But for me, it's just such concentrated Cruise. And every time I watch it, I enjoy it so much. And it's Tom Cruise in The Firm.
You think I'm talking about breaking the law?
No, I'm just trying to figure out how far you want it bent.
As far as you can without breaking it.
I just love that movie. I really do. I think it's a great movie. And it's about tax lawyers, you guys.
Bring back courtroom dramas.
This is
such a deep cut answer. Like, you know, my favorite Tom Cruise courtroom drama, Not a Few Good Men, The Firm.
Well, I mean, and remember, the thing that's sort of interesting about it is that it seems like it's just a, you know, naive young lawyer, you know.
Hot shot, dude.
But we do have to see him become seduced by the money. Mm-hmm. And we also have to see him and his wife sort of reconcile.
Can we just get in our own car and drive back to Boston tonight? We just leave everything.
Find us.
How do you go to work tomorrow? How do you look at Avery? What do you say to him?
I talk about work.
That's insane!
I have thought of every possible way. Here in the Caymans, in Washington, that's all I've done. Try to think of a way out. If we run, they'd find us.
I see hints of Jerry Maguire in that movie.
Yeah.
As much as I see hints of, you know, Minority Report running away from, you know, whatever. And it's still, God, guys, that movie slaps. It is so fun to watch.
Underrated Cruise is when he doesn't realize just how in over his head he is.
Yeah.
I love stressed out Cruise. Mm-hmm. You know, I love when he's trying to hold it together. Cruise is some of my favorite Cruise.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
I'm going to say before we end the segment, Tom Cruise, if you or your people are listening, we had wanted to interview you about your career while flying in an airplane with you. Please be in touch if this is of interest. Until then, that is NPR's Mark Rivers and Barry Hardiman. Always good to talk to both of you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.